Good morning, brothers and sisters in GMC. What a joy, delight to connect with you again like this online. Praise God for the privilege and joy that is ours to reflect a bit more during this time of MCO. I'm sure you probably have thought a lot about what life is all about with all the uncertainties and insecurities and at sometimes isolated and lonely in so many ways. But friends, you know, one of the best persons who can teach us about life is that of Moses, really, who has lived up to 120 years old. And so here in Psalm 90, I'm going to read from verses 1, 2, 10, 12, 14, and 17 to all of us as to what it is we can draw lessons from to help us to understand and to come to grips about living our life in a meaningful, in a fruitful manner. And so therefore, friends, Psalm 90, all right, let me read. Moses writes, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet the span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands." Let us pray. Father, we ask, O God, you take your word and speak and challenge us. We thank you for the wisdom that Moses has deposited for us. And we ask, Father, we will draw lessons, O God, to apply this in our lives so that we live a life that is meaningful and fruitful, O God, all the days of our lives. We give you thanks and we pray all this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. What a question about what life is all about, really. And Moses tells his friends, firstly, that life is a gift. And so here in the first part of verse 10, Moses writes, "The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength." Now we know that with the advance of medical science, we will live more than 80 years, 90 years, even 100 years or more than 100 years old. But whatever the length of time that God has given to us, this life of ours is really a gift. And the point is this, are we using this gift well, or are we squandering it away? In fact, it reminds me of an incident, right? One Sunday morning, a gentleman came and joined us in worship in DUMC. At the end of the service, he came up, introduced himself, talked to me, and said, "Appreciated the time of worship with you all. Pastor, will you pray for me? But also pray for my son." And then he explained the son's situation. After hearing from him, all right, about the son, "Yes, sure, I'll pray for you." And after the prayer, what happens is, we're grateful and thankful, he left. Then about a month later, I was just flipping to newspapers. I'm not sure about you. Nowadays, I think many of us, we don't read newspapers, okay, very much nowadays, isn't it? But you know what? Nowadays, when I read newspapers, which is not often, I read from the back to the front. Why? Because the back part is really one of sports and news and updates about what's happening and the results of sports and everything, but really quite exciting, isn't it? But you know what? The second part after the sports is that of obituary. Now, those of us who spend a bit more time looking at the obituary, it reflects our age, really. Why? Because sometimes we may see a friend of ours, even a classmate of ours, right there in the obituary column. That is a reality. In fact, it reminds me of this American comedian by the name of George Burns, who died actually at the age of 100 years old. You know what he said in the latter years of his life? He said, "Each morning when I get up, I will look at the newspapers and the obituary column. And if I don't see my name there, then I go and have a great, wonderful breakfast." Now, friends, only the comedian can say something like this. But that particular morning, I was flipping through. My eyes chanced a glance on the picture of a young man. I looked at it very carefully. The name sounded a bit familiar. Then I looked at the name of the father. I said, "Indeed, that's a man I prayed for, as well as, okay, this son that I prayed for." You know what? Obituary column says about this son who died at 16 years old, and he died from drug overdose. Sadly, friends, at a younger age, he got involved in drugs, right? And was addicted to it, so much so that, friends, you know, sadly, he destroyed his life. Only at the age of 16 years old, his life is all over. How sad, how tragic, isn't it, that life is just wasted like this at such a short, okay, time span with all the potential possibilities before him. And friends, therefore, it's a reminder to all of us, how are we using this gift of life that God has given to us? Are we intentionally employed in such a manner, it becomes a blessing, a help, a support, an encouragement to other people. Maybe someone to call up to follow up, or someone to call up to pray for, someone to visit, all right? An encouragement we can offer to someone around us so that our time, our life is really well used, so that indeed, friends, this gift of life, we can one day look back and give thanks to God that it is used well to His honor for His glory. In fact, it reminds me about this man, a former world karate champion, actually, that had the joy to connect with him on an airplane in a flight. And in a process, by God's grace, okay, I led him to faith in Christ. But how did that happen? Actually, it's to do with his mother, because it said he's a Malaysian, married to a Britisher, settled down, okay, in Britain for more than 30 years. And he said, I came back here to look after my mother, who was a little bit sick. But unfortunately, her illness got worse and she eventually died. And then, right, when everything was over, he was on his way back. That's where I met up with him on the flight. And then he said this. He said, you know what? My mother became a Christian at the latter part of her life. In fact, she only became a Christian 5 years before she passed away. And the amazing thing is this, he said. So many other ladies came up during the funeral service to testify. What a blessing, an encouragement, a support, a help. She has been to so many, many of us. So many of these ladies give thanks and rejoice and celebrate this amazing life of this lady. Like this, a short span of 5 years, she has used her life for this gift of life that God has given to her to be a wonderful blessing to many, many people around indeed. Friends, and that is what happens when we surrender our life to Christ. God will begin to stretch us, lead us, guide us, use us, so that our life will be used by God to touch many, many lives indeed. And I was talking and sharing a little bit more and more. I could see that he was tearing in his eyes. So I said, and Julian, you know, God has touched you. And if you like to, I want to lead you to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. He paused for a moment and looked up, and then he said, okay, I will. And so it is my joy, my privilege to lead him to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior and to pray for God's blessings upon him. God will use him to be an encouragement, a help, support to other people around, very much like that of the mother. You see, friends, whatever length of time, short or long, it is so important to steward this gift of life well, so that one day when we look back, we don't look back in regret, but in gratitude and thanksgiving to God that this life of ours has been a gift that we have used well to God's honor and for God's glory. And that's the first thing, friends, you and I must understand, to seize hold, to lay hold of this gift of life, so that we never, never, friends, right, waste it away in any way whatsoever. Because why? Time passes by very quickly, and this life is short, really. For many of us, we're in our 50s, 60s, 70s, and some of us in our 80s, or even more. Friends, you know, it's really very short. And some of the young people don't laugh at us, because in a twinkling of an eye, you will also join the company elect. And so, friends, whatever length of time, it does not matter. Point is, how are we using it? Are we using it well, to God's honor, for God's glory? Life is not only a gift, friends. Secondly, you notice, life is also a gain, or should be a gain. And that's how you notice, friends, again, Moses tells us like this in verse 12. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, what is this wisdom? Wisdom is not just knowledge. Wisdom is knowing what we know, and knowing how to use it in our life, to live it out in such a manner that our life becomes attractive. It becomes winsome. And that's what wisdom is all about. Living such a life that it becomes really, in that sense, magnetic, right? As we lead, as we interact with people around us. Now, where does this wisdom come from? The Bible tells us like this in James chapter 1 and in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Friends, this wisdom comes from God. And the privilege you and I can have is that we can ask Him, and that He wants to pour this into our lives and give to us generously, as the Bible tells us here. What an amazing God of generosity who wants to pour richly into our lives, so that with this wisdom from God, we will really, I believe, know how to live our lives, so that indeed we are knowing how to really, friends, number our days right properly. Now, this wisdom comes from God. The Bible also calls it as heavenly wisdom. And the Bible makes a difference between heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom. This is where James goes on to say like this in James chapter 3, verses 13 and 17. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in a humility that comes from wisdom. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. You see, friends, we find a wise person, we notice here from this passage of scripture, is one whose life, okay, will be peace-loving, pure, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, but also impartial and sincere. What an amazing life, isn't it? When a person has this kind of wisdom that God gives to us, a person that is at rest, a person who's gracious and kind, thoughtful, considerate, generous in so many, many ways. Unlike, friends, you know what? Earthly wisdom. And again, you notice when James defines for us what this earthly wisdom is in James chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. You see, friends, earthly, sometimes the Bible even calls it as unspiritual, okay, wisdom, is devilish. It seeks to try to compete, backbite, try to put people down, try to always want to be first and superior compared to everybody else. That's the kind of wisdom that you notice the Bible says is earthly. It is not of God at all. And that's not the kind of wisdom you and I should have really in our lives, which is, I think, so, so important, isn't it? And that's why Moses reminds us that you and I must number our days aright, that so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So the point is this, are we growing in wisdom deep today? Are we growing in grace and graciousness, goodness and kindness, thoughtfulness and consideration, always supportive and encouraging towards people like around us? You know, friends, I think of this wonderful gentleman that I have the joy and the privilege of working with. His name is Mr. David Bowler. In fact, he retired as the headmaster of Bukit Bintang Boys' School, okay, here in PJ. And then he also sits on the board of quite a number of Christian organizations, including being the chairman of NECF. And that time, I was general secretary of NECF, which is a National Evangelical Christian Fellowship of Malaysia. And NECF is an umbrella body representing evangelical churches in this country, including charismatic churches, like the Assemblies of God, Baptists and Brethren, and EFC, and FGA, SIB, so and so forth. And so the joy and privilege of serving together with him, where the NECF represents over 1,000 churches at a point of time. He's the chairman, I'm the general secretary. So we work very, very closely together. Man who is so gracious and kind and gentle and thoughtful. A man full of God's grace in his life. Friends, you know, on one occasion I remember, we were both at a conference that was held in FGA, NECF conference, actually. And then we all stood up, at the beginning of the conference to sing to worship the Lord. And then, you know, FGA's worship, very much like many of our churches, very loud, very vibrant, and noisy, and so on and so forth. We rejoice, we celebrate with enthusiasm, exuberance, and we thank God for the blessing that is ours. We will worship God like this. But Mr. Bowler comes from a different background, a brethren background, one of the elders in a brethren church, right? You know, brethren churches, generally the worship is quieter, more conservative. And so then we were standing up at the beginning of a conference, worshiping the Lord and so on and so forth like this. And he was there also upstanding with us. Now, after two songs, I turned over to him and said, Mr. Bowler, you can take a seat now. It's okay. You be seated. We'll carry on about worshiping the Lord. He was then in his 70s. So I thought, a man of that age should maybe have some rest, and prepare for the next, session that is going to come up like this. But you also know, you and I know as well, sometimes our worship, our kind of worship can go on and on for quite a while, isn't it? So, I would have thought for myself, Mr. Bowler, you can sit down. You know what he said? No, he says, I will stand. I will stand and join you all, which is not his kind of worship. But friends, here's a man who is so respectful, so gracious, thoughtful and kind. And you know, more than that, he always is encouraging a positive word for people around, even those who do not agree with him theologically. He has always got something wonderful and positive to say. That's the kind of man friends, that reflect really a heart of wisdom. And I pray, you know, friends, for you and me, that we will also grow to be like that. That people will see in us increasingly that's grace and graciousness, that is kindness and goodness, thoughtfulness and consideration, that we're patient and gentle with people, which is really, friends, you know what, very much a reflection of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Apostle Paul tells us like this, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You see, friends, as we live our Christian life just more and more in our growing in wisdom, we must reflect more and more, really, this fruit of the Holy Spirit in life, whereby there's increasing joy and peace and rest in the Lord, patience and kind towards people, showing goodness and grace towards others as much as faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That sometimes when people upset us, we do not just lose our temper, we just go, as it were, okay, crazy. But we are gentle and kind and gracious and thoughtful, big-hearted, forgiving people. Even sometimes when people wrong us, it's okay. We see the bigger picture. Friends, when we live like this, it is indeed a life, okay, that is reflected in wisdom. And I pray, friends, in all our churches, people will see this more and more in our place of work, in our school, college, university, amongst our classmates, also in our neighborhood. I pray, friends, we'll be such kind of people that when people see us, they say, this person, this man, this woman, this boy, this girl is unusual. And I pray, friends, you know what? It's a reflection of Christ-likeness, which is what a heart of wisdom is all about. And that's so important. So, friends, you know, firstly, life is a gift from God. How are we using this gift of life? Are we using it well? Or are we wasting, squandering it away? Secondly, friends, life is gain or a gain. Are we gaining wisdom so that our life will be so well lived, it becomes attractive, gracious, okay, and in a sense, winsome to so many, it becomes a powerful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. But finally, friends, you know what? Life is also gladness. Why? Because here in verse 14 of Psalm 90, Moses says, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Sing for joy, be glad all our days. And so, friends, the mark of gladness is joy. All right? Thankful and grateful, celebrative in so many ways about what God has done in our lives and what God continues to do in our life. Now, friends, it does not mean that in the midst of gladness or joy, there is no problems, difficulties, pain, or affliction. This is not the case, actually. In fact, Moses goes on to say in verse 15 like this, make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. Friends, in the midst of affliction and trouble, Moses says, make us glad. We can still be glad. Why? Because gladness and joy, friends, is a choice. It's a choice we make. It's an attitude, friends, you know what, right, we have. For example, we can get upset and angry when things won't go right. We can, on the other hand, say, it's okay. It's okay. Maybe God is teaching me something. Maybe I didn't learn and grow in it, which is, I think, so, so important. So, friends, joy or gladness does not mean there are no problems, difficulties whatsoever. Give you an example. Actually, some 35 years ago, I was speaking at a church camp. Okay. And this person who shared with me speaking at a church camp, is a person, but in a Dr. David Gunaratnam, an amazing man of God. All right. Dr. David is today about 82, 83 years old now. And so 35 years when he shared, okay, the pulpit with him in speaking at this camp in Port Dickson, knowing that his second son, by that time, he's about something like 10 years old. But you know what? His second son, Mark, when he was born, he was chalking above normal, above, okay, average in terms of his academic and all abilities. But then at age 6, he noticed something wasn't quite right. Checked and checked, and eventually discovered, actually, the son has got autism. Now, some 35 years ago, you know, autism is fairly new, okay, especially for us here in Malaysia. So, friends, you know, you're looking around for help and that kind of thing. What is the best way to handle a child that is autistic in this manner? And his form of autism is fairly severe because he has to be watched over and sometimes held on because he can dash out of the house and therefore in a process get onto the road or main road, endangering his life and his safety like this. And so therefore he has to constantly with his wife, wonderful wife Christina, watch over him very, very closely. So at that time at the camp, I said to David, you know, it must be quite hard for you, isn't it, to have to take care of Mark like this together with Christina. You know what he said? In fact, what he said shocked me. He said, Daniel, not really. I thank God for Mark. It is because of Mark that we are drawn closer together as a family, that I learned to make time in the midst of my business as a dentist, as an orthodontist, actually. Make time for the family, right? To carve up different portions of time and activities so that we could be together as a family, learning, sharing, helping, encouraging, supporting, and be a real blessing to one another. And he says, I thank God for Mark, really. Friends, what an amazing attitude. What an incredible portion response of his on his part like this. That today, actually, Mark is something 45 years old. Still have his autism, right? Although so much better now. But friends, you know, by God's grace, here is a man who responded in such a manner that in the midst of affliction, challenge, or pain, as it were, there is still gladness and joy. So it's a choice we make, friends, and it's so important because becoming a Christian, being a Christian, does not mean that there were no difficulties or problems whatsoever. Because if it is so, then tons of people want to become Christians, but becoming Christian for a wrong motive, isn't it? And this is where, friends, it challenges you and I to be able to respond correctly so that by the grace of God, we grow. In fact, we mature even more. Friends, life is like this, actually. We grow, we mature more to difficulties, problems, and afflictions rather than to good times. Because sometimes the danger it is, when times are good, we become presumptuous. We become sometimes even proud. And that's where we've got to guard our hearts. We learn more, we grow more, actually, through pain, to difficulties, to afflictions in life. Let me give you another example. Once I saw a lady, she was wheeling her mother in a wheelchair right, here in UMC, okay, and outwards onto the car park in order to take the mom back. I saw her from the distance, don't recognize her. So I thought I'd just go up and help and assist her. And there, right, standing with the mother, okay, out there in the concourse area waiting for her to bring her car. Okay, to us. Finally, when she arrived, she got in her car and together with her, I helped, okay, to carry the mother into the car. And we struggled a fair bit actually getting in. And then eventually when we got her in, I said to her, by the way, what's your name? What church you go to? Instead of answering me that question, she says, why is God like this? Making me to go to all the suffering and difficulties? What kind of God is this? My mate has gone back to the Philippines. Here I am on my own, wrestling and struggling with things like this. And then he's, okay, shut the door and drove off right away just like this without saying anything further to me. Friends, you know, here's a case of a person, unfortunately, of course, okay, I feel for her, that she responded in a different manner altogether, upset and angry, seeing this as a burden. And for some people, sometimes seeing this even as a punishment, as it were. Why should life be like this? Friends, you know what? It's an attitude we adopt and a response that we could have whereby we can choose differently. Instead of seeing, for example, as a burden, we could see it as a blessing. Why? Because there are lessons we can learn from. God is teaching about perseverance, patience. He's teaching about love and care and concern for people who are not, okay, as good physically compared to us like this, that we should be so grateful about. Seeing that's a joy and a blessing to serve, even her own mother like this, isn't it? Which is a fantastic opportunity God has given to us or for a lifetime. And it's so important, isn't it? That's why, friends, you know what? In life, there's no guarantee that there'll be no problems or difficulties. And when problems or difficulties come, we can either end up becoming a bitter person or a better person. It's a choice we make. It's a response that we show that out of it, friends, it can be a burden or a blessing. And I pray by God's grace, you know, friends, for you and I, that increasing as we live our life, that our life will be one whereby increasingly we will see this as gladness, as joy, as thanksgiving to God, that God, you are so good towards me, that you've actually grown me a lot more because of the problems and challenges I go through in life, rather than the good times, rather than wonderful, prosperous times, friends. And church, you know what? This is what you and I got to do, I pray, by the grace of God, that we eventually become mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. So our life will be attractive, will be encouragement, a blessing, and a challenge to many, many people. So when we live lives like this, friends, life, this gift of ours, is well used for God. This gain in wisdom is just amazing. But this gladness and joy that we can share and celebrate in is one where, in the midst even of challenges, afflictions, and problems, we can rise above and be the kind of people that God wants us to be. So that our life becomes an encouragement, an inspiration to so many, many people like this. When people look at us, that in spite of hardships and sorrows, we can still, friends, rejoice in God. And we praise God for such a life, for such an opportunity to be a blessing to people around us. Isn't it? So therefore, I want to pray now for all of us as we come to God. Let us pray. Maybe some of you listening in, you might not yet be a Christian. I want to pray for you especially, that if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this God in Jesus Christ is amazingly good. He wants to come in to help us in order we may grow and gain in wisdom, but also a life of joy and gladness, that in the midst of sometimes difficulty, challenges, even afflictions, there can still be gladness and joy and thanksgiving. And so, if you're not yet a Christian, friends, I want to extend this opportunity to you, that you can come and take the step of faith to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, as much as like this man, Julian, on an airplane, taking the step of faith to trust in Christ. You can do so also likewise. So if you'd like to follow after me this prayer in your heart, in terms of four steps, very simple four steps, acknowledging you're a sinner. Secondly, believing that Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins. Thirdly, asking to forgive you of your sins. And fourthly, inviting me into your life as Lord and Savior. So if you'd like to follow after me in your heart as I lead you in this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank and I praise you for your love for me. I confess that I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Now come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Take control of my life. Give me your love, your power, and enable me to live as a Christian, as a child of yours, from today onwards and forever. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, for those who prayed this prayer, Father, I pray that you, by your Spirit, seal deep in their hearts, O God, and bring this new birth and new life to pass, so that they may truly, O God, experience what it means to know Jesus and walk with Jesus all the days of their lives. Bless these precious ones, Father, I pray, and that we may follow up, O God, diligently, ensure that they are discipled in the fellowship, O God, of believers. Let me pray for all of us, finally. Lord, I want to pray for every one of us, that, O God, we thank you for this gift of life that you've given to all of us. Whatever length, O God, of years you give to us, Lord, I pray you help every one of us to use, O God, this gift of life well to your honor for your glory, so that we never look back, O God, in regret but in gratitude, that our life is well stewarded to your honor for your glory. I pray we'll grow in increasing wisdom for every one of us, because the greatest gain is to gain a heart of wisdom, so that we know how to lead such lives in this world, so our lives become attractive and winsome, gracious and thoughtful and kind, encouraging and positive, always a blessing, if not even inspiration, other people around us. But finally, Father, I pray for all of us, there will always be the gladness and joy in you, because it is you that gives us gladness and joy in the midst of even difficult circumstances. We can still celebrate and give you thanks because you're teaching us, you are stretching us, you are enabling us to grow even more mature in the process out of difficulties, challenges, afflictions, oh God, I pray. So help us all to know how to respond correctly, oh God, I pray, Father, so that in our attitude, in our posture, we will really, oh God, be strongly built up in every way, so our life will become an encouragement, a help, and a blessing to many people. So bless us all, Father, I pray, as we commit ourselves to give you thanks for your goodness towards us, and bless the week ahead for all of us that can honor you, live for your glory, for our lives and our churches will draw many, many. Oh God, we pray to encounter Jesus and be touched and changed and transformed. For I ask and pray all this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.